There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Winning the game alone would have been great. How they came back and won that game, oh man, it made it even that much more sweet. And they've just been doing it all year long to a point where, you know, we talked about it last week or even earlier this week. Maybe they shouldn't put a ceiling on what this team could do. But I mean, they just continue to even kick down that idea. Like, yeah, the sky's the limit with this team. But deep down, you're like, is it really? And then they do that. And it's like, I mean, anything's possible now.
I think the crazy thing about this season, number one, the way the team was really, I don't want to say thrown together, because that almost minimizes the efforts of Stearns. I'm just saying that just to keep it going. But I know we didn't just throw it together. A lot of well-thought-out planning that obviously paid great dividends here on the back end. But it is a roster that is, you know, not necessarily going to be intact for a while. So I think anytime, just based on some of the age, whether it's Iglesias, who's 34, or the one-year deals with Severino, or Minaya being able to opt out, or whatever the situation might be, Bader, the one-year deal, et cetera, Marte's contract coming off the book, McNeil's almost done pretty soon, Pete's situation. So I think while they've given you so many reasons from a baseball perspective to believe, I think the randomness of the roster is maybe what, on some level, kept fans from really, truly, truly believing. But I think if you can suspend that and just watch the way they grind and the way they attack at bats and the way they're never out of it, I mean, they got a chance.
Right, so how far, because everything you just said is what I've been battling with both internally and openly on the air. Like, we've gone through this all year long, and they've done things that the owner himself said it. I have no idea how this keeps happening, but it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. So, like, he doesn't know either. We all don't know. I mean, this is unbelievable what we've seen. Historic wins to extend their season twice in a week. So a part of me is like, well, anything's possible. Now take that momentum and go do what the Phillies did in 2022 to the other teams that they played, the better teams they played. You know, the Mets could do that. They could be what the Phillies were in 2022, be that now. But there's also the logical side, like, is this, and maybe it's fear, whatever, as a fan, logic, is this going to run out at some point? Where it looked like it was going to run out last night, but again, they did it. Like, how can you think now, what are they going to be down 7-1 in the ninth inning of an elimination game before you, you know what I mean?
I don't even think you think that way at this point. Easier said than done.
One game at a time?
Yeah, I mean, that's how cliche does that sound and contrived, but it's really true. I mean, just listen, take the cue from the manager. I mean, Mendoza's steady voice. He was great in the clubhouse postgame. I thought Stearns was great postgame. I thought Iglesias was great postgame. I watched all that stuff on SNY, and I just thought it was, once again, shining through how connected this team really is.
I mean, it got out hit last night.
It was like a high school team in a weird way.
But
that camaraderie point of view.
But that's kind of the point. Like chemistry, heart, fun. Mendoza, you're right, talking about it with the smile. Those are things that you and I talked about. Like, how valuable is that? And I think it's very valuable, but is there a limit? We referenced the Knicks. Because the Knicks had that.
Yes.
But then you saw it run out. And I know the injuries played a big part of that last year, but still, like, they didn't even get past the Pacers, let alone facing the Celtics. And then they themselves said, this was great, but we need more.
Yeah.
And they knew they needed more. Right now, the Mets they're not in a spot where they could do more. Right now, they're in it and hoping that this can ride as far as, you know, they're going to ride this as far as they can take it here. But, I mean, is that chemistry and heart and fun and looseness going to win out? Or ultimately, is it going to be like, you know what? They don't have enough in the bullpen to compete with the Padres or the Dodgers or the Phillies.
Listen, you can take the unknowns with the Mets. You can take the unknowns with Ohtani and Judge, two of the best players we've ever seen. You just don't know. There's a randomness this time of the year. But I'll tell you this. You know, if Pete Alonso just clicked in last night, that it changes what they can do.
You know, my last thing before we get back to the calls, and I do think he's like unlocked some, you know, you get to a video game and you unlock certain levels. I think now Pete is unlocked. Now we can expect him to start to produce. I would at least expect that to be the case. Who knows what will happen? 888-808-1019. But when you look at what this Mets team has been able to do, they wait for the last minute. Like, if you were that good, why couldn't you score some runs early on? You know what I'm saying? They score four in the ninth. That's great. We love it. It was dramatic. But
I'll tell you what.
Where was this earlier? Yeah,
because they're like the heavyweight fighter or any fighter that doesn't really have the heavy fist, but they got to jab you to death. They're not coming out with one shot and clipping you on the chin and you know, you seeing stars and you looking up at the ceiling. They got a, you know, a little jab here, a little duck here, a little slip there, a little that's how they're going to win. So,
and if you don't knock them out,
correct,
they're going to be dangerous, right? So you got to knock them out.
You got to put them on the chin. You got to get them with the chin shot. Hoff, what did you say about Senga? Where are we with Senga now? Just to kind of
so push this
forward a
little
bit.
I'm trying to remember who tweeted it out. I think it was Puma put out that he's in the conversation for a spot to make the Mets NLDS roster.
To make the roster.
Now, if he makes the roster, he's going to start.
I don't know about that.
Well, they've already said it.
Did they definitely say that?
They said it last time, so I don't think that's going to change. If he's on the team, he's going to start. That is to my knowledge.
Well, let's just go through this for a minute, okay? So,
and right now they're up against it. There's a chance he could start game one. If he's going to be on the roster, it's going to be either Tyler McGill.
Is he built up enough? How's he going to start?
How's he going to be on the roster then?
Well, at least you can get two innings out of him. You know, maybe three innings, now, 50-50 pitchers or so.
You're right, but it would be to start. So,
but in place of whom? Quintana was phenomenal last night.
Well, you know, Severino's. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Just like in a place just to.
No, it could be early on.
Really?
When would Manaea's? So where are we at? Manaea pitched Wednesday, right? What day
today's
is it? Friday.
Friday. He pitched Wednesday.
Okay, so where are we at? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Manaea would pitch game three at Citi Field.
And game three would be on Tuesday.
Yep. He's going to pitch game. I'm just trying to do the math here.
I think
real
it's going to be Tuesday as well.
Okay, now, and then, so Seve pitched. Yeah. Seve pitched in game one. So can he go on Sunday or
he
no?
He could go Sunday.
He pitched game one on Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday's his normal.
He's ready to go Sunday.
So Seve's going game two.
What about Peterson tomorrow?
Well, that's...
It's
either going to be Peterson...
Or McGill.
Yeah. Or Senga.
I don't think Senga's going to start. That would really surprise me.
Well, so yeah, I mean, we don't know the actual latest with that, and we're going to have a decision, I would assume, some point today.
Right. There's been nothing yet, but it's a possibility. That's all
I love putting him on the... I'm sorry, Hoff. I love putting him on the roster. I'm not giving him the baseball game one.
So what would you do? McGill?
I would keep him in the pen, and I'd try to ease him the situation. You're up a couple of runs, you're down a couple, and then maybe if you move forward in the series or... In the month where you get to the league championship series, maybe you revisit that. How do you give him a start?
So Seve is game
for
Seve,
6 months.
Yeah, well, buddy.
No, not six, but you know.
Well, but the one time he did pitch, though, he did pitch five
pitched
innings.
Very okay. well, too. Yeah. Before he got hurt, right? Pitched well.
Again, I just believe if, and it's a major if with Senga, if he is on the roster, I believe it is going to be to start.
Wow.
So then the question becomes, what game? And it's either going to be one or then potentially game four, although I can't imagine, like, let's say they use, I can't imagine they would go in favor of, although maybe they like the matchup better, who the hell knows? And maybe it's one of these things. Maybe it's, hey, we'll start Senga and have Quintana follow, or start Senga and have Peterson follow.
Or McGill.
Who are you taking off the roster? Because think about this.
Kranick, right? Or whatever is...
Okay, but McGill wasn't on the roster either because he had just pitched, so he wasn't even on the wild card roster.
Oh, right, so he's got
to
be on there.
So you have to add McGill and Senga.
That's a good point.
Who are you taking off?
That's a good point.
you're probably not going to have all those guys on there. I don't think Senga's going to make the roster, the more I think about it. Because to your point, BT, if you can't trust them, they're not going to use him out of the bullpen. Like, that was made clear.
Why, though?
Because I don't think that they believe he would succeed in that. And I mean, they said it. So there are many reasons for it. Now, could that change? I guess, theoretically, yeah. Anything could happen. But they didn't like, remember when he was coming back toward the end of the season?
They said,
if it does, it's going to be as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean he was going to go 6-7 innings as a starter, but it meant they were going to use him as a starter. So that would indicate to me, him coming out of the pen is not going to happen. So then you're either having him on your roster to start what, in this case, would either be, we agree Seve's going to be game two on Sunday because normal rest.
Normal rest.
And Manaea's going to be on, Tuesday. Think it would be extra rest on Tuesday for game three.
Uh-huh.
It's either going to be game one or game four. Now, wait, game five would be Friday.
So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Game five would be Friday.
Okay, so does that mean Seve will pitch that game?
Let's go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, then he'd be regular rest Friday, Seve. Yeah.
I don't know if I like Seve against the Phillies in that ballpark, but hey, hopefully it is not a game five. Maybe the Mets take him out in three or four.
Getting greedy all of a sudden. Let's go.
I've been thinking a lot about Mets history and thinking back. Actually, because last night I was thinking about elimination games. And I started thinking, we'll get back to the Colts here in a second. I started thinking about elimination games in recent years.
Yeah.
And by the way, ESPN messed up the graphic. Like, they left out 2006 elimination game. But the Mets didn't have one. In 99, they didn't go back to Arizona in the short five-game series. Todd Pratt home run, Mets win the series in 99. Same thing against the Giants in 2000. Agbayani home run, they had the Bobby Jones one-hitter of that series. Didn't go back to San Francisco for game five. So the Mets in these five-game series have had some success. They did have one game five in L.A. in 2015 in which they won on the road there. Not that I was just thinking back to all these different things, but there have been a lot of times where the Mets, even though they might not have been the better team going in, have won what they needed to do, split on the road, and come back home and take care of business. And I will say this, Citi Field is going to be lit.
Oh, my God.
This is not like 2022. It's going to be the hottest ticket in town. Both the Yankees and Mets are going to be on fire, but the Mets specifically, right now, the energy with that team, that place is going to be on fire for game three and game four.
It's going to be on fire tomorrow night. I've just told me in my ear they've got the watch party again. Let's go. Tomorrow, watch party.
Officially confirmed, 2:30 is the gates open.
That's awesome.
Dude.
That is really cool that they're doing that.
I love it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Brian is in Five Towns. What's up, Brian?
Let's go Mets, baby.
Yeah,
let's go Mets.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Listen, I was so angry when the guy called in with all his negativity. I actually bought tickets to the watch party tomorrow. I'm throwing all baseball intelligence out the window. In my mind, this is the greatest team ever. I'm just going to watch them as if, honestly, I'm not going
right
to
do
oh,
it. You know,
I'm not going to sit there.
Don't let logic get in the way, Brian. You're right. You shouldn't.
No way. No, I'm not. This is my Santa Claus, my Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, this is it. The original reason why I was calling was because my hero of the game, obviously, Alonso and Lindor, it was Quintana. Like, that game could have got away from us so quickly, and he made good hitters look silly at the plate. Four hits, six scoreless, 94 pitches. I was talking to my cousins. We were in a big text group chat. I was saying, you know, maybe they let him in the seventh because he only had 94. They let Severino go 101 the night before, but I'm just blown away. I'm truly so happy. This is what happiness feels like, and I'm all for it, honestly.
A great call, dude. You know, Quintana, too, and they put one of the stats up there last night. How did they word it? Fewest or lowest percentage of balls in the zone, something like that, which obviously speaks to Quintana obviously having to dance around and kind of nibble and go high and low and play in and out. Obviously, it doesn't have overpowering stuff. To put up those zeros with that margin for error, meaning you got to be perfect, dude. And there were countless times where he fell behind 2-0, and you can't just sit back and throw a dead red fastball at 90 miles an hour right over the heart of the plate. You got to put it perfect on the corner so that they can't square it up and they're probably not going to swing just to get the count somewhat back in your favor. He was awesome. And how many changeups that he just threw in the dirt? And by the way, that's by design. Like,
they showed a stat. I know you're all into the analytics of it or whatever, but he, I think, has the highest rate of pitches outside of the strike zone.
You were just
like
looking
that.
Something up. Yeah, I just referenced that actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
oh,
it's all
geez,
good.
I'm sorry.
Oh, good. We got a lot of things going on. The lowest, I think it was 42 or 43% of pitches in the zone. So he's got to really nibble. And man, when you are on a tightrope and your team hasn't given you, they've only given you two hits and a hit by pitch at this point with Winker getting hit, nobody on base and no runs, and you cannot give up a run, and you don't have stuff to throw it over the heart of the plate. He was a master last night.
Two things I was not listening to, which I was thinking of. First of all, that was a great call. It gave me goosebumps, and that should be the mentality. The other thing I was thinking of, trying to play it out here, Quintana's got to start a game. Off of
100%.
That, he pitched a beautiful game. Six strong innings, battled, all the stuff that you just said. He's got to start. So then that would leave game one between either Tylor Megill or Senga-Peterson combination potentially. Because think about it this way. If Quintana's going to start and you have the Peterson, I don't know, again, are they going to make him the starter? They're not going to have Senga come in and relieve him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to move Tylor Megill to the pen. So maybe they view Peterson now as a guy who could be the piggyback guy to either Tylor Megill or Kodai Senga. And maybe the best scenario, they think, hey, you know what? We don't like Megill against the Phillies. Who knows? Again, but I think you're either looking at Tylor Megill clearly, or if Senga's in play, a Senga, then piggyback with Peterson possibility.
And I'll tell you what, just you look at the way, first of all, Senga righty, Peterson lefty, Senga, you know, his repertoire versus Peterson. You can very easily, if you want to pitch Peterson tomorrow, you can. You just treat yesterday as a throw day. He didn't throw many pitches.
Right.
So, like, let's say if he didn't get in the game yesterday.
And then just start
him. He's still
doing
a bullpen session anyway.
All right. So then it would be, see, the reason why I said he would be the piggyback guy is I think Peterson plays better out of the pen than the other two options.
Megill and Senga?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's,
well, I've never seen Senga do it, so right. Probably. And I think Megill could probably do it.
Now maybe you get a Megill-Peterson game one way or another. You have Megill start and Peterson comes in that way.
You could.
Well, maybe just have Peterson start and you say Megill's going to move in the pen. Bottom line, though, is the Mets have 1, 2, 3, 4. Forget Senga for a second. They have 5 starters. Peterson, Seve, Manaea, Quintana, right?
Yes.
So you're only going to use 4
correct
of those guys the rest of the way. So how? Now, again, that's without Senga in the picture. If Senga comes back, he's going to be one, and then they figure out the bullpen. To Hoff's point, one of them might be left off the roster. That's why I'm going to eliminate. I'm going to assume it's going to be Senga, and then they're going to have the piggyback game with Megill, Peterson, or however that works,
mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be Seve, Manaea, and Quintana. Those are your other 3 starters. I mean, that's what you're looking at the rest of the way here.
Unless they watch Senga throw a bullpen, and they saw mid-90s, and something dropping off the table, and they're sitting there saying, eh, maybe we can start him Saturday.
Gayton is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Gayton?
Gayton!
Gayton, you there? All right, we'll put him back on hold. Not sure what's going on there, but we do appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Sal, what's up? OMG, let's go Mets, man.
Hmm.
Sal, I got a bone to pick with you, though, bro. I need you to get fired up, man. What's it going to take for the Mets to get you all in? Like, I need you to be like Mel Gibson in The Patriot, dude. Like, you're my friend, and you're the guy I look to for the Mets, dude. I need you to get fired up.
You don't think I'm fired up today? How much more fired up? I lost my voice screaming last night.
Dude, if we started the series, though, and it was light, man. You were coming light. You were saying, oh, you know, I don't like the matchup. And
I
then
didn't.
It's, I'd rather lose now than lose to Philly. Dude, we got to let that go, and we're going for it, bro. I'm telling you, on this side, like the other caller said, he's letting go of the baseball analytics, and he's enjoying the run. It feels good. It feels good, baby. Sal, come over here with us, Sal. We need you, Sal. You're the voice, baby. Let's go, baby!
Great call, Lawrence. I appreciate that. I'm going to be honest with the listeners, BT, and with you and myself as well. I'm afraid to totally let myself go. Because I've endured the pain before. There's the logical part of my brain that is preventing me from emotionally just letting go and wholeheartedly going all in, saying that they're going to beat the Phillies. We didn't really give predictions or whatever against Milwaukee. I just gave it my gut feel. Especially last night, like going into game one, I was like, this could be a tough matchup for this team. And they showed great in game one. Then I expected them to win the series. They did, but last night I didn't have a good feel. I didn't think Milwaukee was going to beat them necessarily. And it kind of played out to that, not having a good feel. Milwaukee led the whole game. You take that game, if you're the Brewers, 99 out of 100 times thinking you're going to win, and yet they lost the game. A part of me is still afraid to deep dive all the way in.
Okay, so I understood, but what you're going to have to do, because your people are calling for it now, you're going to have to suspend logic. You're going to have to dive face first into this. Face first, okay? and you're going to have to roll the dice on getting absolutely crushed. That's always the other side of the coin. But you got to die face first. It can't be any other way.
And when you say that, does that mean like I have to go all in and say that I think they're going to beat the Phillies? Or not like a prediction necessarily, but
stay away for the predictions.
Yeah, right, okay.
Just don't let the mind wander to the dark spot. That is possible,
right?
But that might not happen.
I don't feel like I've gone to the dark spot, certainly not often, but I just haven't gone to the bright spot as much as I would like to.
I think it's time to go to the bright spot. I think it's calling.
I'll tell you this. I want this series more than any series that I've wanted in a very, very long time.
It's got to be, right?
I mean, obviously you want them to, like 2006 comes to mind and 2015, but this is different. Like, you know, you missed the opportunity to win the World Series in 2015, sure. All those series mean a lot, but this, it's personal. When you involve Philadelphia and those losers down there...
Spike text you yet?
Yeah, they were yesterday already, these guys. Yeah,
I know.
It's personal.
This is why you got to dive all in.
Hoff?
Yeah, I just got some information that's kind of like a lock for the Mets going to the World Series.
Oh, God. What?
Teams that have eliminated the Brewers in the postseason have all gone to the World Series. Six of those teams have won it.
Six out of how many, do you know?
Nine.
Interesting stat. Is that a curiosity?
In 81, it was the Yankees.
Yep, that's right.
82.
Yankees lost the World Series, though, to the Dodgers in 81.
Right, right. So six of the teams, though, have won the World Series. Not all nine have gone to the World Series. Cardinals won in 82.
Yeah.
2008 Phillies.
Mm.
Cardinals in 2011. Dodgers lost the World Series but made it in 2018. Nationals won in 2019, Dodgers in 2020, Braves 2021.
Yeah, I'm not buying this.
Diamondbacks last year.
That's not going all in.
I'm not buying this stat. No, I don't. I just don't buy the stat.
This is not a stat. This is just facts.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I mean, think about it logically, especially in the early years. If you beat a team in the postseason, odds are you're going to win the World Series or at least get to it. Back in the early 80s, like that's all that it was. You beat there was only, if you win one series, you're in the World Series. So if they had won every time, maybe there's a little more merit to that. I can't get caught up in that.
18 to 23, bro.
That's
all real stuff.
I would say that I am very excited the way that this series is set up, where the Mets are the clear underdogs, the team with the momentum, but also still looked at as less than the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
These are the spots that as fans, you relish going into.
The Knicks took care of the Sixers. Now it's your turn.
This would be even sweeter.
This is your turn now.
Maybe I'll get there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
There by 2 o'clock. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'll get there by 2 o'clock. I know the World Series wins and what they mean, BT, and I just couldn't. I wasn't old enough to appreciate Mookie Wilson, Buckner, yep, behind the bag. That moment last night, just an incredible win. You're talking about 40 years. 40 dude, years of fandom. And you saw, like, even Evan was texting me, he's like, Piazza-like moment. Because you know I always reference the Piazza-like moments. That's how I compare all the Mets, or even people in general, but specifically Mets, to, hey, well, Piazza in that spot, he came up, you needed a home run, he was going to do it. That was the spot, and I responded back, that was even better than any Piazza moment last night.
I would have to think so. The only thing that I would think that would have been better than that, and again, the age difference between you and I is enough where you know that this happened, you didn't see it in real time, I did. I was in my basement with my buddies Pat and Timmy when Dykstra hit the home run at Shea.
Okay.
And while he's on second base.
Game three of the NLCS.
Yes, yes, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day right down the line. And I could still see Lenny jumping up and down with his hands over his head and Backman on base. And obviously that got them going there. And both of those guys that I just referenced are Met fans. So what they were going through in my basement when Lenny hit the home run, I mean, it had to be what everybody was going through last night when Pete hit the home run, if not more, because of the whole stuff with Pete.
Where would you rank that moment? And we referenced a couple of big ones before, but where would you rank that moment as far as improbability? Meaning,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like I guess the two Yankee ones were up there, and I guess you could even give me your favorite moment as a fan. Like the Mattingly home run was great, but this wasn't just because it was Pete and it was a home run in the playoffs. It was that they were done. And the season would have been over. Not just the series would have been over. The season would have been over. Down to Alonso. Like, there are so many factors that, for me, made it number one, even with enjoying great wins in an NFC Championship game or whatever, mm-hmm, whatever mm-hmm. it may be, or the NLCS. But that was, and then you throw in the improbability of it.
Yeah. Well, improbable, not that Pete's not capable, but improbable given the sense that he looked like he was absolutely mentally fried and finished. And all the other home runs or touchdowns or goals or, Messier's guarantee or whatever it might be. Alan Houston's referenced that before off the front rim and in against Miami. That was crazy. I went nuts when that happened. I think that this makes it, or this one's particularly unique because it's, at least for this series, it was the culmination of a seven-month conversation.
Right.
Like when Brosh just hits a home run or Tino hit a home run in the World Series. And we weren't talking about Tino Martinez basically every single day for 7 months.
Right.
We have talked about Pete Alonso to varying degrees, granted, for every day. There's either been a tweet or a reference point about the contract, about Boris, about all-time men, about this or that for 7 straight months. So I think that alone just gives it a unique profile that I don't know that anything really equates to it, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was just...
I really don't think so.
It was just incredible. We'll get back to the calls here. Working the Yankees in a little bit. Also, we have some breaking news. Hoff just told me in my ear, Neighbors is out.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. No. I thought that yesterday. I said that, but now it's confirmed.
Ad surprise.
He's out.
What is it, Hoff? He's just out with the concussion?
Just out concussion. Brian Daboll just said it. So.
Yeah, that stinks. I mean, I don't even know how they pieced together drives this weekend in Seattle, but Neighbors, that did not look very good. He has not done a physical thing since he got hurt at the end of that game. And, I mean, I'm not surprised. I was holding out hope that maybe that last level or phase of the concussion protocol was passed, but I didn't seem very optimistic about it.
And now
he's definitely out.
And now I'd be worried. You just want to make sure he's, like, okay. All right, he's out for the game.
But I know.
Importantly, you want to make sure it's not a problem here. Like, we've seen this before, and it didn't look that bad in real time.
No, it didn't.
And then when I heard, I think we were talking about it yesterday, I was like, what? He's still in the early stages of protocol. What's going on here?
I know.
The game was on Thursday.
I know.
I mean, you had when Tua was down on the field on that Thursday night. Al Michaels like, well, they have the extra days, so maybe he'll be ready to play, which I know he was lost with that. But I think with Neighbors, it felt at least a little more realistic that he'd be able to go.
Yeah.
Look, safety first, obviously, but you just hope now that he's going to be okay moving forward.
100%.
Forget about Sunday. All right, let's get back to the phones. Gayton is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Gayton?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, man.
That's good. I finally got through there. Sorry about that before. No. I know what happened with the phones.
That's okay.
Look, I got a great – I was going to call you guys Tuesday after the whole, you know, Atlanta series, but I'm glad I waited because I was telling Hoff, this is a great story this week. Monday, they're not showing the game where I live. So I'm going to go out to the bar and watch the game. So I sit there for seven innings. Nothing. I got nothing. I said, I can't take this anymore. I get in the car. By the time I drive home, the Mets have scored six runs to take the lead. I get in my house. The game's finally on. I watch it again. I watch them lose the lead. My wife looks at me and goes, you're a jinx. You got to get out of the house. I get back in my car to drive to work. The Mets end up coming back and winning the game. So last night, same thing. I'm sitting home watching the game, seven innings. They hit the two home runs. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. She looks at me again. I'm like, I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to go to the store and get some. I literally have it in my earphones in the Wawa in my town. When Pete hits the homer, I screamed so loud, some little kid next to me was screaming, crying. I didn't know, but it's literally, I can't watch the games. I have to listen to them on the radio for something good to happen. So, but it just seemed it was funny that it happened on Monday, and then it happened again today. So now
you're the jinx, Gayton. You're the jinx. Stay away from watching these games.
I can listen to it. I can't watch it. So, I mean, so literally 18 innings of baseball. I've seen 16 innings in those two games and saw no run scored. On the radio, I hear everything else.
Look,
is that crazy?
It is funny, the superstitions, and thank you for the call, Gayton. Always good to hear from you. It is funny, the superstitions of fans, BT. And I get, you know, people call it jinx, whatever. Like, there is no such thing. But when you're a fan, I told you I was wearing the same belt and socks for 3 days this week. No, I changed it up. I had no game tonight. We're good to go.
Okay.
And I changed it yesterday because they lost the day before.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Once they lose,
I gotcha.
Now I'll break that belt back out for, you know, next week whenever they have a game day. But yeah, I could understand what he's saying. Like, fans feel like that. I had my buddies who text me all the time. I can't take it anymore. I shut it off. As soon as they shut it off, something good happens. So, I mean, that's what being a sports fan is all about. You don't want to miss those moments, though. I made sure I don't care what was happening. I'm watching that game. I'm sitting there checking every pitch out.
Sal, and again, there's nothing that compares to baseball in the sense that it's you really feel helpless when your team is losing, okay? And it's a playoff game. There's nothing you could do, and your team's not up to bat.
Yeah.
You know, so Diaz is out there, and Buto gives up the couple of home runs, and then Diaz is out there to try to keep it a two-zip, and he's having a rough time finding the zone. You can tell he didn't have his ace stuff out of the chute. You know, it's not like if you're watching a big football game and you're like, all right, my team's losing 17-3, but maybe we get a sack and a short field or a punt return or, you know, basketball, you're getting crushed, but you're like, hey, maybe we end the half on a 15-2 run. We kind of crawl back in this thing. You literally cannot cut into the deficit until you get back up to bat.
Right.
And, I mean, sometimes you could be sitting there 30 minutes, foul balls, pitching change, 40 minutes where nothing can possibly cut into the deficit, and it's the most helpless, hopeless feeling. And last night, you had that until you didn't. You hit the home run.
And I think the most important thing that we've overlooked so far has been Diaz, because to your point, when Diaz is in the game there, they said it on the broadcast, you knew what it meant. Mendoza said, all right, that's it. I got to lock this down and give our guys a chance, as opposed to holding him and hoping that you take the lead and you don't fire Diaz or you pitch him in the inning later, but maybe things get out of control. Hey, it's 2-0. We got to keep this team at bay. And it was right at 2-0. To be honest, while I was frustrated and didn't think that they would come back the way that they did, I never really gave up hope, so much so that I was mad at my wife because she left. We were watching the game together, and then she's like, all right, I'm going to go inside and watch whatever. I'm like, wait, you're not going to watch the game? She's like, I don't want to watch them lose. I'm like, you don't understand. They've been doing this all year long. Like it's only a 2-0 game or whatever it was, a 1-0 maybe even at that point. She left. They hit another home run.
Mm-hmm.
But she left, and then she heard me screaming, going nuts when they came back, and of course missed it. But
She came back to yell at you.
Yeah, well, right.
You're getting too loud.
Yeah, what are you doing? Sammy's sleeping. I don't care. Get the hell out of here. Do you know what just happened? Please. No, but I never, like, you know how when you're watching games and you know the game is over.
Yep.
You want to hold out hope that you can come back, but you know the game is over. I didn't feel that. At 2-0, it didn't feel good, but you never really felt like if Diaz gave up another one, nail in the coffin.
Well, when they stole the double steal, second and third, you're like, ugh.
You give a base hit there, 4-0, that's it.
That lights out.
But it wasn't that last night with this team.
I didn't think it was over either. Now, I'm not invested in it like you are as a Mets fan. I didn't feel like it was over either. I'm not saying I thought Pete was going to really do what he did. I thought somebody might do something.
Right.
But when Lindor had that at bat, I'm like, all right, listen, here we go. Here's the script. These are the Mets.
Well, with the order set up the way that it was okay, here we go.
Yep.
And whether it was, like, the most likely scenario for me was Lindor get on, Vientos do some damage. That was the most likely thing for me.
He had some rough swings
last night.
And
Vientos looked awful.
Yeah.
Nimmo gets the big hit, and then it was just like,
oh, no.
It's on, baby.
Oh, boy.
By the way, we will have Howie Rose on at 1:00.
Today. All right. Howie's up.
He's awake. He's been a weekly spot for us. Howie's agreed to come on at 1:00. I cannot wait to talk to him.
It's going to be awesome.
About what went down last night.
Let me tell you something about these Yankees. They have nowhere to hide. That's it. The spotlight cannot get bigger. It is shining on them, and they must deliver. We said this yesterday, but it got even more intensified because the Mets won. Orioles gone. Astros gone. Royals, 25th payroll. Not that they can't beat them, but that's obviously going to be a talking point. The Tigers remain. They're barely a top 20 payroll. The Guardians, they remain. This is the American League Central invite. And the New York Yankees. And if the Yankees, now this is very much dumbing it down and minimizing how tough it could be. But this is what happens when you're the Yankees. You got to win now. Because the Mets remain the little engine that could, at least for now, okay? Until they maybe get some bigger names this offseason. And the Yankees with Judge and Soto and Gerrit Cole and all the championships and all the things that we talk about and all the pressure on Boone and Hal and this and that. The New York Yankees must come out swinging, and the Yankees must get to the World Series.
They might have the most pressure on them of any team in it. Obviously, we know the Mets don't have any pressure because nobody expected anything from them. Yeah, Philadelphia, okay, sure, but they went on their run a couple years ago to get to a World Series. The Dodgers had won theirs, even though it's a shortened year, and they're going to have some pressure, sure. Padres a little bit, but with the Yankees in New York, with the way the American League has shaken out, with the Mets going nuts, I do think that adds to your point. I think the Yankees have the most pressure on them left of any team to at least get to the World Series.
Yeah, I think when you get there, you know, like you go back to the Marlins series versus maybe in 2003 when they obviously lost to a young upstart team versus maybe getting knocked out by either a Tigers team or the Angels team in the early 2000s. Like, that's a different energy. When you get to the World Series, you've got to at least maintain some perspective and understand that is very hard to do. But now, starting tomorrow with Gerrit Cole, who is in his absolute prime, and Aaron Judge, who needs eventually a Yankee moment, whether it's Reggie or Derek or whomever, he needs one of his own. And Soto, this very well might be his only dance in the Bronx. The Yankees just simply have to advance. They have to win, and Brian Cashman must show that he put together a championship team, and Aaron Boone must show that he can manage these guys to the World Series.
And this is not to make it a Mets versus Yankee thing at all, but it crossed my mind last night, and being that we're talking Yankees right now, I'm going to say it again. Aaron Judge, maybe not exactly the way that Pete had his home run last night, because, you know, this just hasn't happened in the history of baseball, but Aaron Judge needs to have his postseason moment like that. Pete had his postseason moment in a huge way. Judge has hit many home runs. We know history, record-breaking, all that stuff.
Yep.
So certainly a terrific all-around player, the best player that I've ever seen. We've said this many times. He hasn't had his signature postseason moment yet.
Yeah, and the moment, I don't put as much stock in that personally, even though you'd love to see it. Again, Reggie hitting the three home runs or a multitude of home runs that we could reference that everybody knows where it's that one isolated, you know, literal home run, trot around the bases. That's the moment. A-Rod doing this.
Need that at some point?
I think he needs to just be one of the best players in baseball. Like, again, if he hits, like, what I mean by that is this, Al, if he hits, you know, 360 with 7 RBIs, but he doesn't have a walk-off home run or a high-leverage double to plate the lead run, I'm not going to get on him. I mean, like, you know, as long as he carries the mail and performs at a level commensurate with his talents. So to me, it's less about that one singular isolated moment and just string together 20 at-bats and be one of the best players in baseball, which he so clearly is.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to your calls. Max with his dad. Ken is in Newton, PA. What's up, Max?
Hi. Let's go, Max. Big win last night. Huge Heat fan. I was kind of nerved towards the end of the game in that ninth inning when Francisco Lindor was up, and I was like, it's gonna come down to Pete. My dad, he didn't believe in Pete, and I was like, he's going to do it. He fell down to 2 strikes, and then he hit that home run, and we were excited. We were screaming. I'm wearing my City Connect Pete jersey right now.
Well, Max, how old are you, Max?
I'm 12 years old.
Beautiful age. You stayed up, obviously, for the whole game. This is now what you got to do is, because here's what you got to do. You got to leverage this against your dad, because your dad kind of tapped out and didn't really believe in Pete. Now you need to make your dad reach into his pocket and bring you to City Field to watch Pete. That's what daddy's got to do.
Yeah. I'm hoping to maybe get to a game against the Phillies, because in PA. So excited.
That's awesome.
Series.
Have a great time, buddy.
Congrats, Max. Thank you for your call. That's fun to hear. I'm just thinking,
man,
the 12-year-old has had more joy in 1 week than I've had in 40 years. Like, think about the moments that he's had or that younger fans have had in the week. I do think, though, that all the years of pain, and I'm not even just say pain and suffering as a Met fan, as sports fans, that's what it is. You endure most of the time, it's miserable. It is painful. It's frustrating. But that's why we love it, waiting for moments like this. And this week, the Mets have provided two all-time games and all-time moments, one better and one more incredible than the next. Just remarkable.
And really, yeah, again, we can isolate it to these couple of moments for sure, which we will. But, I mean, I think they've given you an all-time season.
Yeah, well, certainly now with the way that it's gone down the stretch. Now, all right, well, let me ask you, how would you judge it? Because for me, the ultimate barometer is expectation versus result. We say that all the time.
100%.
Expectation versus result. So you look at what they did in 2022, winning 101 games. Yeah, technically winning 101 games was greater than
waiting on the expectation.
Well,
but
okay, but also the way that it played out wasn't very good. Also, it's significantly better than 89 wins, but already 2024 has blown away.
Yeah, but Sal,
2022.
I agree with that. The fact that you have a new general manager, the fact that you have a new manager, the fact that you have, you know, this influx of belief. Not that you didn't have belief in 2022, because you guys were still galvanized that, you know, Cohen had bought the team, but it was still fairly early. Not that it's late in his tenure, but it was really early in his ownership back then. I think this has to be different. This has to feel different, because the emotional journey. I had one of my buddies text me last night. His 5-year-old son was crying when he hit the home run last night.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Mets fan. I think there are so many Met fans.
Well, Evan was crying apparently after that.
Is that true?
Night. Yeah. I mean, that's what Hoff said.
All right.
Sometimes the emotions get the best of you.
I'm not going to knock somebody for that.
I'm not saying I've never done it before, because I have, but it's been like.
I've never cried at a sporting event.
Ever?
I don't think I have. Now, I was there when the Yankees won it in 96. I was a lunatic. I was actually in the stadium. I had just graduated college. I wasn't crying. I think rather, like when I...
Not like crying of sadness.
No, 100%. Of, like the emotion, realization, the culmination.
Yeah, just the breakthrough of emotions. Like, oh my God.
I haven't. I've gotten on the other end of the anger scale where, where the loss put me in a place that was...
Dark place.
Inconsolable. Yeah. I mean, think about that. You step away from the Super Bowl, a couple times with the Jets, you lose. You don't know where to go. I've never actually, I've told you this, I'm a very sentimental person. I have no problem admitting this came up 3 random questions the other day or a couple of weeks ago. I can hear a certain song and it could trigger me to, the happy tears or reflective tears or contemplative tears, whatever, about my parents, who thankfully is still here, about my wife, my kids, for sure. Like, I am definitely a deep thinker and full of emotion, but I have never cried tears of happiness over a win ever. I'd like to get there at some point. Yeah. I just never have.
I've done it multiple times, but it's been many years, and I don't know. I do think I had an emotional connection still in 2015, but it's been a long time. I didn't think I had the reaction that I had in me last night. in real time, yelling and screaming like a lunatic when Pete hit that home run. I really, if you would have asked me yesterday and played a scenario out, I wouldn't have thought that that would have been my reaction.
Yeah.
So you just never know how sports are going to get you emotionally. But I do understand the tears of joy. I just don't think I'm there anymore. Man, who knows? I mean, maybe. Because what happens, BT, is you feel like it's a culmination. I've certainly, as you grow up, you distance yourself from the younger you and mm-hmm. all that you invested in the sports
never
team.
Never fully goes away, though, well, if you're lucky.
That's the point.
And it hasn't for us.
That's the point. So it could feel like it's distanced. But again, last night, though, I thought it doesn't go away. I didn't know that I had it in me. So I can't promise that if this team goes on a run and wins a World Series, even though I don't love this team the way that I love the 1986 Mets or whatever it may be, because mm-hmm. you're just a kid and yeah. you're romanticized, it doesn't mean that it wouldn't feel symbolic in all those years that you invested going to games in 98, 99, and 2000, and 01, all those years beyond that you invest, that it feels complete after you finally see them as an adult win a championship.
I could totally see it. I could totally respect that. I also think that there's a lot of Met fans right now, understandably, mad at themselves, and I think lamenting how they turned on Pete. I really believe that. I think that's also part of the emotional process here. Your guy who you loved, your guy. And then, based on all the circumstances we've hit every day, not all of you, many of you checked out on Pete, like emotionally severed the connection to Pete.
But do you know why?
I'm not saying that you were wrong because he didn't do well.
No, no.
Because, he earned it.
Because he was causing great pain. The same way that Met fans booed Lindor to start. It's just, we love you so much. We want to love you.
Yeah.
We want you to do well. You're killing us. You're hurting us.
I get it.
By not performing. And the only thing I could say, and I've been, obviously, as you know, very, very critical. Yesterday, 10 a.m., whatever, yesterday, on Pete Alonso. We talked about it. So I've been very critical of Pete along the way. However, it didn't mean that in that spot. This is where I think that certain Met fans are over the top negative. Like if you were, he's going to ground out here or he's going to pop out or strike out. That to me is going to another spot where I personally don't like to go, especially with Pete.
Yeah.
Last night, I didn't have that feeling. I had a feeling of, okay, here we go. This is your last chance. Do it. So I think most Met fans were like that as opposed to being, I'm done with this bomb. He's going to strike out. Which, by the way, they do that with everybody. It's not, you know, some fans are just negative. And
by the way, I don't mean last night specific to the outcome or the anticipated outcome of that at bat before he went deep. I mean the contract and let's move on. Like like a lot of Met fans got to a place that, and I understand it because Pete, based on his lack of production, put you in a position where that was the only real place to go. Like he earned the venom. That's definitely too harsh, but he earned the criticisms, man. Pete was awful. And when somebody that you love, there's such a connection, and then there's such an unexpected intense disconnect, the reunion is powerful.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a pretty awesome thing to see.
And I want to get to how long should that reunion now last when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.